One, two. Now it's on. It's amazing what happens when you mash the right button then. Question. Who's had bad news come your way? Everybody, right? Sometimes we just get what I call gut-wrenching bad news. Many of you know Jim over here, and Jim lost his grandson, Chance, and 4 years ago, right here, in fact, I put Jan on the airplane. She flew home. I went to Amarillo and was meeting with our people up there and got the call about our little Maggie. A lot of y'all know about that. Several years before that, we had a driver appreciation day in Jackson, Georgia. And there's a good friend of ours, an owner-operator out of, he used to live up in Spanaway, Washington. He lives in Missouri now, named Dan Metcalf. Dan is a singing truck driver. He sings a lot of churches where he goes around the country. And he had sung for us. We had a great time of fellowship. Sunday evening, he left on his run, and Monday morning, he got a call from home. His son, Matthew, had been taken to the hospital, and Matthew had been diagnosed with leukemia. Like Chance, he fought a good fight. Just turn that around. I'm probably not going to use it this way. Matthew fought, Chance fought, and won. I disagree with the article in the paper, Jim, that he lost his battle. I believe he won his battle. He won the war, that's right. Might have lost the battle, but he won the war, he said. You know, sometimes we don't get the answer we want from prayer. Anybody identify with that? I mean, we pray. I remember, and I've shared this many times, but Jim and I have been talking here at the show. We relive some of it. I remember standing at the foot of Maggie's bed and literally watching life leave her body. Praying my heart out. Oh, God. You know? I know you can. This is a little child. I quoted a lot of scripture to him. But he had a better plan. And you know, let me tell you something else. I don't know if I've shared this with you or not. But in my mind, I heard this little voice say, "Where's your God now?" You ever heard that condemning voice of the enemy? Of course you have. Why did you do that? God can't love you anymore. We want to talk about bearing the unbearable. How do you bear bad news? What do we do? Romans 8:28 simply says, and that's on page 166 if you want to go there. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, of course, it's hard for me to find that. We were in church many years ago, and the pastor said, "I want you to look up your favorite scripture, be ready to share it next week." I like to never found one to share. The favorite is found in the 66 books in the Bible between Genesis and Revelation, the whole thing, right? So what's your favorite? Well, this is one of mine, because it says, if you're there, it says, "And we know that all things work together for what? For good. But to who? That's right. To them that love the Lord, to them that love God and are called according to his purpose." If we love God, we're going to be doing all we can to grow in his word and to walk in his word. And the stronger we get in his word, then when the bad times come, then when the bad news comes, we can handle it, not because of us, but because of him. Because of him. Paul said, "I can do all things," how? Through Christ that does what? That strengthens me. Where do we go for our strength, you know? Turn to page 235 of that little Bible. Oh, if you got your own Bible, it's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You know, everybody's going to die. That may be a shock to some, especially younger people. I remember when I was young, you know, dying just seemed like a foreign word. Of course, my mama, when I had my Super Sport, was a little bit wild. I tell mama, you're not going to die till your time comes. She'd say, but you inviting it. And we do that, don't we? We take some dumb chances sometimes. But Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed for men to die. Why don't I say women, come to think of it? Yeah, that's all mankind. It's appointed for men to die, but after this, what? The judgment. Now, all of us are born in sin, right? There's nobody born a Christian. I've asked drivers sometimes about their spiritual life, and they'll say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. And I said, no, wait a minute. When were you born again? Well, my daddy was a deacon, and, you know, and some good answers, but that's not a good answer. Everybody has to come to that point of giving your life to Christ, to repent, come to Christ. I've been reprimanded one time for using the word born again too much. I don't know if I can do that. I want to drill it home that that's the only way to get to heaven. Being a Baptist won't work. I've had people say, well, I've been a Baptist all my life. Of course, I really want to pray for them because I are one. But anyway, sometimes people say, I know John, where you at? John is a Catholic. Some might say, I'm a good Catholic. I'm a good this. That don't work. My brother right over here in Abilene that we were hoping to see is now in the advanced stages of Alzheimer's, so he doesn't know anybody. Jack has worked in the church ever since I can remember. Knights of Columbus, I mean, he was up to here in his church, and that's great. I'm not knocking that. But a trip or two ago, coming out here, we realized which way his health was going, and I said, Jack, I know you've been in church for many, many, many years. I mean, they had, I guess you'd say, the ideal family life to look at them. We don't know what happened on the inside, but from the outside, everything was perfect. Two perfect children, which I despise. Mine wasn't. No, not really. But two great children, you know, everything like that. But I said, Jack, unless something happens, you're fixing to die. We're all going to die, but they kind of, you know, I want to know one thing. Have you made it all right with God? I said, have you repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you? And he said, yes, I have. That's all I need to know. But my point in that was, going to church won't make you a Christian any more than going in a garage will make you a car. Daniel said he had these songbooks. I said, well, that's great, but giving me a songbook is like giving me a jet airplane. It won't do me much good. I don't know how to operate it. Having a Bible is great. Wearing Christian stuff is great. But unless you got it inside, when these hard times come, when the bad news comes, it'll knock you down. Now, don't get me wrong. It knocks everybody backward. I mean, nobody says, wow, that was great. Throw another storm, you know. No. Right, Daniel? We all face troubles and trials. There's a verse in the Bible that you've heard thousands of times on page 99, and it's John 3:16. Anybody ever heard that? I bet most people here could quote that verbatim in three different versions. For God so loved the world, what did he do? That's right. I used to go into stores where the computers are on display and type in there, for God so loved the world of trucking. that he gave his one and only son so that all truckers who would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because I put that in there. We got on the back of our chapels, you might notice that, come unto me, all ye truckers who are weary and heavy loaded, and I'll give you rest. I had a woman chew me out in Jackson. That is not in the Bible. I said, yes, it is. Where is it? And I said, let me go get my Bible. What do you mean? I said, I wrote it in there. It says everybody, that means truck drivers, right? I'm so glad that Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not living for God, these troubles are going to come like that hurricane that's going up the East Coast right now, like Katrina. Whoever thought a whole city shut down by a storm? And in that city was Christians, no doubt. Part of the people that suffered the wrath of the storm was Christians, no doubt. We've had storms in our life. I've been known to say in my prayer to God, my name is J-O-E, not J-O-B. You ever feel like Job sometimes? When is it going to end? Not the point. Sometimes we need to pray to learn to pray for endurance instead of deliverance. I want deliverance. Amen? I don't want endurance. I don't want it to go on. For the last 2 years, Jan and I have been under constant attack for 2 years. And I'm not saying that as a woe is me. I'm not saying that a sympathetic thing. I'm saying if you're into war, you're going to get shot at. Give it up. Right, John? We were in Nam. How many others were in Vietnam? Anybody? All right. I know Floyd wasn't. No. You know, funny thing, Floyd, when... He was, that's what I thought, he was in the Civil War. No. Funny thing was, we shot at them, they shot back at us. For no reason. I mean, can't they take a joke? No. The Bible says we're in a spiritual war, and it will go on till the day we die or Jesus comes back. Turn to page 247, please. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5:7. The wonderful part, one of the wonderful parts of the Bible, is that when these troubles and trials come, we don't have to take them. We don't have to walk with them. We don't have that. I got a big brother called Jesus Christ. His shoulders are a lot larger than mine. A personal story, I hope you don't mind. Not long ago, we've been to every specialist in Atlanta, I think, at one time or another. Most of you know Jan is a breast cancer survivor. Cindy knows a lot about that. She works on that all the time, cancer survivor. But sometime back, they've never been able to get her out of pain. They've misdiagnosed it twice so far that we know of. One time it was rheumatoid arthritis. The next doctor said, no, it ain't that. It's osteoporosis or whatever you call it. The next one said, no, it's not that. You got fibromyalgia. But he said that there's a good chance, though, that breast cancer can go to the bone. And all of a sudden, that big C word come back into our life. Fibromyalgia is one thing. Bone cancer is another story. During that, well, we went and had a bone scan done on a Friday. And that was the longest weekend of my life, waiting till I think it was Tuesday before we ever got the report. On Sunday morning, our Sunday school class, my Sunday school teacher said something that triggered something. We were talking about that a while ago. When somebody says something, sometimes, you know, it'll trigger something in your mind may not even be relevant to what they were saying, but God deals with something. Anyway, God spoke to my heart in that Sunday school class and said, you've never released Jan to me. You've never given her to me. That scared me to death. I'll be honest with you. That scared me to death. Because that means when I release her to him, that means whatever he does is okay with me. Which could mean anything. I spent Sunday afternoon in that camper on my face before God telling him I can't do that. Yes, you can. And you will do that. And before that afternoon was over, I had the peace in my heart that whatever happened, whatever the results of that test was, he would get us through it. I didn't say it'd be all right, but he'd get us through it. And, of course, the test came back, no bone cancer. Praise God. But it could have been the other way, couldn't it? Just as easy. Are you at 1 Peter 5, 7? Very short, simple verse. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Right? How hard is that? That is a very, very, very difficult job. It's to cast all your care on him. Well, casting all your care on him is pretty easy. Leaving it there is the problem. Anybody remember the old gospel song, take all your troubles to the cross, or Lord, and what? And do what? How many is like me have a problem leaving it there? He don't move fast enough. I mean, he's 100 billion plus years old. What's another few days? To him. To me, it's a lifetime. To me, I want it answered right away. Well, look back at verse 6 right there. Let's see the qualification for that verse to happen in your life. You see, every promise in the Bible has a stipulation with it. To be born again, we got to repent. We got to do something. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you whenever you want him to. That's not what that said? What does that say? He may exalt you in due time, at his time, at the right time. So, humbling yourself under God's mighty hand may be a problem for us, but that's something we have to learn to do. Turn to page 12, Matthew 11, 28. By the way, the psalmist felt like we did while you're turning there. Psalms 38, 4 says, for all my iniquities gone over my head like a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me to bear. And they are too heavy for me, but they're not too big for God. Are you at page 12, Matthew 11, 28? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and what will he do? I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What that tells me is his way is the best way. His way is better than my way. True repentance, you see, is only the beginning point. That is the beginning point. To be born again, it takes repentance from the heart. And we're going to do that before this service is over. We're going to pray a prayer, but understand something. True repentance is the beginning place, but not the ending place. That starts an adventure of a lifetime. I tell you what, serving the Lord is the greatest adventure in the world. Right, Gene? I mean, every day is a new day, and just letting him have control of your life. I remember as an owner-operator, and of course I know I'm going to unload in such and such, Dallas, Texas, and before I get there, I'm praying, Lord, where do you want me to go from here? What's up? And sometimes I wish I hadn't asked. He don't pick the same place I had in mind. Like Chicago in the winter in Calumet City. My least favorite place to lay around. One of my least favorite places. But turn to page 170. I got more than we'll ever cover, so forgive me. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You see, what? First of all, we have true repentance. That's, we give our, we repent of our sins, giving our life to Christ, giving Him control of our life. The Bible says that we need to hear the Word of God, because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to listen to the Word. And what happens with that Word when we hear it, here's the importance of it, and Satan will give you about 10 good reasons not to listen to the Bible. You know, too tired, too sleepy, too whatever. Romans 12, 1 and 2, particularly verse 2, but let's read 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2 is what we want to zoom in on. And it says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. This version says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Ongoing. Renewing. I wasn't a big English fan in school, but I learned about suffixes, and this was, ing means ongoing. And it says we need to be constantly renewing our mind. Well, how do we do that? By hearing the Word of God. We hear garbage all the time, automatically. So we need to hear the Word. But let me ask you a question today. I know it's hot out here, so we want to get out of here. I don't want to hold you long. But let me ask you a very important question. Please listen to this. Where do you stand with God today? Individually. Don't answer. Just think about it. Do you know for a fact if today God, that it was your day to die, and we don't know. Don't die under here, by the way. Way to get away from here anyway. But no, seriously. If today was my day, what I want you to do, if you hear that, is I want you to begin rejoicing and praising God. Join me in the celebration, because I'm with God. Don't wish me back here. When they were doing my heart ablation, I told the doctor that if it goes bad, it's okay. And he kind of snickered. I said, my wife's outside that room door right there with a living will that says, do not resuscitate me. I said, if I get one foot in heaven and you bring me back, we're going to have a problem. If God wants me here, He'll keep me here. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I go to the doctor, I take medicine, and do all that stuff. But if I get a chance to go to be with Him, I'm out of here. But let me ask you, how do you feel about that? What if that happened? Are you ready? Do you know it? Turn to page, I don't remember where it's at. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Somebody find that for me. I want to show you one last promise. Where is it? 251 or something like that. I want you to see that. 1 John, that's Little John over in the back. We call it Little John. You said you'd just been reading that, right? That's great. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. What page? 251. That's what I thought. A great, great promise. It simply says this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? From how much unrighteousness? All. I love it because nobody's too bad to go to heaven. Nobody's good enough to go to heaven. Think about that. You can't be good enough, but you can't be too bad either. Now, what we need is the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins so we can go to heaven. And that, according to that verse and many others I could show you, but for the sake of time, we're going to use that verse to say we're going to confess our sins this morning in a prayer. God will know whether you mean it from your heart or not. I won't. And it's not important that I know it. It's important that you know it and God knows what you're saying is true. I'm going to ask everybody here to pray a prayer with me as we close, with your heads up and eyes open. Only you and God are going to know whether you mean it or not. You say, I'm not interested. Well, if you don't mean it, it's not going to do anything. But for the benefit of the person around you that might want to, I want you to join in with us. And if you say, well, I'm already saved, I don't need that. Well, you're right. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're born again, you're born again. But for the benefit, again, of those around you, let's all pray it together. Hey, I mean it every time I pray it. If there's something in my heart I don't even know about, you know. As the psalmist said, search my heart, O God, you know. And by the way, when you tell God that, he will. He'll reveal some little spots there you didn't know about. If you mean it. All right? Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins, come into my heart, and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I read your word, I believe your word, and I receive your word. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you meant that, God knows that. Now, be sure to keep that Bible or keep our number, keep the prayer line. Somebody is there to pray with you 24 hours a day at Truck Stop Ministries. We're not going to say, all right, you're saved, now we drop you. We want to walk through the valley with you. I remember praying with Jim two or three times on the way home. And that's what it's about. And Jim prayed with us, by the way. He was praying for us with Maggie. And I mentioned Jim because it's very new and very relevant, and we all remember and always will remember Chance. What an honor it was. My favorite story about him is him waving with his nub at cars going by. They take part of his leg, you know, and all that, and he had a little nub, and Jim said, when he passed somebody, right, you pass the truck, he'd lift that leg up and wave with the nub. So he'd get a big kick. Had a sense of humor. Hey, he was happier than we are, and supposedly nothing wrong with us. All the time. Never saw him without a smile, he said. He was a great young man, and the best thing about it is, we'll see him again. Trouble is, he won't have his nub to wave. It'd be kind of fun if he did, but no, he'll have a complete body. I'll hold Maggie again, and there won't be any wires and all that stuff. But thank y'all for coming.